Amen. Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Indeed, this is the day we should really, really be glad after next week. At least 40 degrees or more today, we need to be really, really glad about that. I don't know about you, but I am. Well, I'd like to welcome each and all of you to this worship service and pray God's blessing upon us as we worship in truth and in the Spirit. Let's celebrate this day with gladness, for such the Lord requires. As usual, I'd like to invite you to take note of the announcements. We have them on the screens as well as inserts in your bulletins. Please take note of those that have maybe need for people to participate. Please feel free to be a part of it. This is teamwork. Ministry is teamwork. We do it together. And because we do ministry together, let me just do one thing, bring you one announcement. Probably some of you might be aware, or you might not be. Not too many people might know some of the things that are going on, or all of the things that are going on here at church. One of those wonderful things that we are undertaking as a congregation is to have few people, and I say few compared to 40 or 45 people. If you have 5 or 6 people who will volunteer to say, look, we all share the same concern about the faith of the church, not just our congregation, but majority of the congregations, irrespective of denominations, the attitude of people toward God. And it's evidenced by what we see, a lot of empty pews in most churches, including ours. So these people and myself, I cannot pray. We are praying and undertaking what we call a process of simple church. This is a process that most churches that you see thriving today are undertaking. But we think that the best way to go is to, in fact, consult the one who has called us, which is Jesus, to help us discern a process by which, by his grace, might work for our church too. And so I'm going to name those people because they actually represent this congregation. We all represent the congregation. I'm one of those. And so we have Carol. Carol Feast is here. We have Scott McClellan is one of those. We have Jean Drissen is another person. Debbie Ganwe is another one. Becky Meredith, who is currently worshiping with Christ Church, is also a part of this discernment process. And of course, myself. What we want you to help us with, we are not just praying, we are using the resource. Our first resource is to be in contact with God, who has called us, whose mission we are in here. And then the next resource is people who have done research of many, many different congregations, varieties of denominations around, and have come to notice that What is called simple church process helps a congregation to grow. That's Eric Garner and Tom Renner. They wrote this book called Simple Church, God's Process for His Congregation. That has been working. We would appreciate if any of you, I said, ministry is a teamwork. These people do not have the answer. I do not have the answer. But if your heart is touched and moved by the Spirit to say, look, these are some of the things that we need to be considering as a congregation as we pray about the future of our congregation, or as we find a way to move forward, maybe to try it. Maybe that's the big word. We'd be glad if you were to just send those suggestions to any of the people that I've just named. If you don't know any of these people, at least usually I'm up here, you can see me. By the time I get down from here, give me that piece of paper, or just call me in the corner and talk to me. Say, this is what the Lord had revealed to me about our congregation. We are very serious about this. We are praying. You don't see Esther here the last two Sundays, including today. Esther is on a prayer mission in South Africa, and she's praying for our church, along with other people, other women and men in South Africa. So we take this ministry very seriously. It's a challenge for us, and we think we need God's intervention. We need God's intervention. I mean, there's nothing to panic about. We are simply saying there is a need. These pews were placed here with people on mind by the people who brought them. They can be empty. And we know God can help us once we open ourselves up to Him and allow Him to work through us. So that's the addition to the announcement this morning. You can be a part of this process by suggesting, by praying along with us too, so that the future of our congregation can be determined and move forward. Okay. That was the only announcement that was not included in this, the written announcements. So if you would do me a favor, just turn to the person next to you and say, God, Jesus loves you, so do I. Amen. 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 So with that, I would invite us to do a centering prayer this morning. And our centering prayer is right there in your bulletin. Jane, do you have it on the screen? Yes, our centering prayer. Let's pray that prayer together. Eternal Spirit, creator of all things, places, and peoples, we come together in the name of the Christ. In Him you became one with us, that we might become one with one another in true love and in our worship of you. You have come. May you be present with and amongst us. Amen. If you are able and feel comfortable, you may rise for the call to worship. You are welcome. Whoever you are, and whatever your age, come before the Christ, the child Christ. Whatever your custom, come, let's bow before the servant Christ. Whatever your nation and tribe, come, let's bow before the words Christ. In all His power and authority, it with us never fall. in the field. For God's strength itself shall lift our arms and sustain us. We've come, all we thankful people. Amen. Let's remain standing as you are able. We sing the hymn, Come, Sinner, to the Gospel Feast. Would you please join me in our opening prayer? Walking through the sins of our daily lives and work, Lord Jesus Christ, we each heard you say, follow me, I will make you fishers of people. We know that your ways are not our ways, and your thoughts are not the waters of the world. So the temptation to disobey and betray your call is greater. Oh, how we pray for the which you could make us be your first disciples, whom upon hearing your call, abandon their nets and follow you. Help us to trust you and be a little more faithful, Lord Jesus. You have the power to enfold us in the palms of your hands and to wrap your arms around us when we fall to help us stand again. Your life and your work model faithful Christian life and work. May you grant us the courage to faithfully imitate thee in our daily lives and work. Amen. Let's prepare our hearts and our minds as we come to the Lord's table this morning. I like to always remind us that for United Methodist, the table of the Lord is open, meaning that the only requirement you've got is between you and this loving Jesus whose blood and life he gave for us. It has nothing to do with which denomination you come from. It has nothing to do with how, where you are on your faith journey, but just the assurance that, yes, I can commune. I'm a part of the body of Christ. With that assurance, our Lord invites to his table who love him, and I truly sorry for their sins. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Let us now prepare our hearts for Christ's compassionate love to flow in us so that through us the world might experience the transforming power of Christ's redemptive work demonstrated on the cross for you, for me, and the world. On the night before Jesus' betrayal and trial, he shared one last meal with his disciples. What could he do to empower them to continue on this redemptive work when he was going back to heaven? Jesus loved his followers, and his heart went out to them. He took the bread, said a prayer to heaven, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you." After a while, Jesus took a cup of grape juice, said a prayer to heaven, and gave it to his friends again, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many." He instructed them to remember him whenever they eat of the bread and drink of the wine. Body of Christ broken for you. Christ's blood shed for you and for many. The table is ready. You may come forth and share. Body of Christ, share for you. The body of Christ, share for you. blood of Christ shed for you, body of Christ broken for you, August, the blood of Christ shed for you.
This is the body of Christ.
Would you please join me in the communion prayer, post-communion prayer. Gracious and eternal God, we give you thanks for the holy mystery in which you have given yourselves to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength and guidance of your Holy Spirit to give ourselves for others. These we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
The New Testament reading this morning is Philippians 3, 12 through 15. I have not yet received all these things. I have not yet reached my goal. Jesus Christ took hold of me so that I could reach that goal. So I keep pushing myself forward to reach it. Brothers and sisters, I don't consider that I have taken hold of it yet. But here is the one thing I do. I forget what is behind me. I push hard toward what is ahead of me. I push myself forward toward the goal to win the prize. God has appointed me to win it. The heavenly prize is Christ Jesus himself. So all of us who are grown up in the faith should see things this way. Maybe you think differently about something, but God will make it clear to you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, choir. Thank you for sharing communion this morning. Coming to the Lord's table together is always a privilege and a huge blessing for the children of God to do that freely. And I'm saying freely because not too many people want to do it freely, but they don't just have the opportunity to do that. So let's take a look at what the gospel has to say about Jesus' trip you know that he's been rejected in Nazareth, and now he's gone to this one small town called Capernaum. Let's see what happened there. Jesus and those with him, the disciples, went to Capernaum. When the Sabbath day came, he went into the synagogue. There he began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching. That's because he taught them like one who had authority. He did not talk like the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue cried out. He was controlled by the evil spirit. He said, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus firmly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man very, very wildly. Then they came out of him with a scream. All the people were amazed, so they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching? And with so much authority, he even gives order to evil spirit and they obey him." News about Jesus spread quickly over Galilee. This is the word of God for the people of God. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our Redeemer and our strength. I'm continuing to look at the journey of Jesus from different gospel perspectives. And this is Mark's perspective on what happened after Jesus' incubation period, spiritual incubation period, 40 days and 40 nights in the hot desert land. Not only that he's there, but he's undergoing this intense temptation, time of temptation. And of course, it's not an easy thing. You're struggling to manage with the heat, just as we did the few days with this little cold, just 20 degrees below, there was no work. Think about that. And he goes home to Nazareth thinking that he's going to find some consolations because, and I said incubation period, intentionally because this was the time that Jesus was being remade. He was being reformed, strengthened, gathering his power, consulting with God, and wanting to know for sure. You know, sometimes there are things that appear to us in the world to be a disappointment. And it is out of our disappointment that sometimes God's appointment comes. Out of what we term as disappointment is when God's appointment begins. So that when one window closes, and I'm talking about real life issue here, as one window closes, God opens a door. Jesus has been tempted in the desert, and now he's coming out fresh, yet well grounded for what lies ahead. He was God, probably he knew what was ahead. But knowing that from the human point of view, sometimes things like this will happen. It reminds me about my own baptism as being maybe the first in our entire family. We have a huge family. I was the first person that was baptized in 1973. And at the time I was in the elementary school, and I was so excited about my baptism. And I went home and wanted everybody to know that I've been baptized. But I was speaking a strange language that people didn't even understand what I was talking about. What you call baptism, you're so excited about. Well, I was so limited, I couldn't explain. But one thing I could remember, I was sticking to the creek. And the pastor, among other students, I was then attending a school. And this school, the principal was the pastor of the church. So for some reason, I got caught up with that, and it kind of dipped me and kind of, you know, plunged me into the water that early morning. And I went home shivering, and I started to explain, this is what happened. I was baptized. You were baptized? Yes. Oh. So what is baptism? You wet. Oh, the dipping in the water. That's what happened. For what? Well, I couldn't explain why. But one thing I was excited about was baptism. I was baptized. Jesus is being baptized by the Holy Spirit right there in the desert. And he's excited and wanting to go share with his family, with his friends, with the leaders of this country, of his synagogue, so that they would begin probably to say, oh, yes, he's now a part of us. But what did he meet her with? Rejection. And I can identify with that. Most of the people that I talked to after my baptism, well, the only thing they could tell me was, and so what about that? And I couldn't explain, and I felt ashamed of myself many times because I couldn't really explain what it meant to be a Christian. And so I look at staying the course as being a key of fulfilling Christian life and mission. Christian life is a journey. It never ends until we leave this world. People don't have vacation. You don't take vacation when you are on a Christian mission. No, there's no vacation. It's one of those things that, but yet you are not weary. You are not burdened. I mean, we work, take for instance, we work in our daily life, in our perfections, and sometimes the job gets so hard, and what we want to do is to at least take a week or two break so that we can have what? We can replenish maybe that use of energy. But for Christians, the more you get involved, the more energized you are. So there's no vacation. The more you get involved, the more energized, the more strength you gain, the stronger you become. The more you want to do. So, what are we talking about here? Jesus is rejected. He goes to Capernaum. Disappointment, another disappointment right there. So what's going to come out of going to Capernaum? Well, he meets with a contest that he did not prepare for. You have to understand how this episode is unfolding. Jesus has just come out of this temptation situation. Jesus has been rejected. Now he's trying to take a refuge, but not really a refuge, but God is giving him another opportunity that was available in the next town that was about 25 or 20 miles away from his hometown, and he's there as usual on the Sabbath. It was what he did all of the time. He went into the synagogue. And you have to understand that the synagogue is not like the where we are set today, where we are. We can be sure that all of you here, you are all Christians. But that was not the situation with the synagogue. The synagogue was a public assembly area that anyone who was authorized, especially so, perfectionists. You're talking about legal experts. You're talking about philosophers. You're talking about scribes. You're talking about men of God, women, politicians. Everybody gathered there. Jesus found himself in this synagogue to compete with these people. Something, credentials that he has none. Now, I've never heard about the university that Jesus attended or the seminary he went to or the Bible college he attended. No, I don't know about any of those. And so he with all of these credential people. The scribes. They knew the law of Moses at the tip of their fingers. And this guy from nowhere enters the synagogue. Guess who initiated the challenge? You remember the reading from the gospel? Who did that? The demon-possessed guy. The guy who was possessed with demon. He's the one who initiates the challenge. He says to Jesus, "What do you want here? You don't belong here." Oh, why? Oh, because I know you. I know who you are. And so when the scripture says, you know, in most cases, most Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, most churchgoers, they brag about knowing Jesus. And the Bible tells us, you know, yes, you know Jesus. You know the name Jesus. Even the demon does. Satan does. What's the difference between your knowing Jesus and Satan knowing Jesus? And so this demon-possessed guy, the demon was speaking through him, recognizing that Jesus did not belong in that synagogue. That crowd was not for him. He was not one of the credentialed people, as well as the demon knew. Because in that synagogue there were exorcists. There were exorcists who were casting out demons. And so Jesus' authority to be there was questioned. What are you doing here? Who gave you the permission to be here? You're not supposed to be here. And Jesus responds, "Quiet! Quiet! Get out of him, demon!" Ooh. And he's shaking very violently. And he's shaking. And then he calms down. And he becomes a normal human being. He becomes normal again. His senses are restored. His dignity as a human being is restored. Everybody is looking. The scribes, the legal experts, the professionals, the philosophers are looking at each other. Who is this guy? Who is he? They have no idea who he was. And because of what happened, they had only one conclusion that they could come to. Who is this God that teaches with authority? Is this a new teaching? Is this a new teaching? What's going on here? Well, all of the credentials were all there by the authority of the dean of students and, you know, and the board of directors of this institution. You are awarded this degree. It didn't make sense to them. Get out. And he's out. And this man is normal again.
Well,
he's teaching with authority. Though Jesus did not have that degree, that credential that other people have for which they were qualified and authorized to be in that synagogue, Jesus had something that they did not have. Something even more supreme, supernatural. And somebody says, even the demons obey him. Where did he get that from? My friends, something, maybe most Christians seem to be missing out on something in life. Forgetting to know how much power that name that we all bear has. The name Christian. Small Christ. There's power in that name. There is authority in that name. There is, think about it. There is life in that name. There is healing in that name. There is restoration in that name. There is salvation in that name. Just the name Jesus Christ. That no amount of human credential can define or fully understand how it happened. And because of that, because of what Jesus had done to this man and the manner in which he taught and the way he conducted himself, all of the credentials experts that were in there, they came to the conclusion that he had the most power. And so the contest did not last too long. The contest was just... It didn't last too long. When the people started saying, yes, he is the one. He is the one with the power. He is the one. All that we heard. You have to know that anything were to happen here in Racine, maybe people around Milwaukee and Mount Pleasant and all of these places, the news would just go wild. So it was. So Jesus' authority was not given by human. He was not credentialed to be a priest. He was not credentialed to be a rabbi. He was not credentialed to be a priest by human authority. Well, I was ordained a pastor. But bishops, I think there were more than three bishops, came and put their hand on our heads and those of you who've been to annual conference, you know how that works. Jesus was never like that. So I think I have more power than Jesus. Because if I have three bishops putting their hands on my head, I have more credentials. But unfortunately, my credential is so limited. It's limited until they can be rebooted by the authority of Christ. Salvation can never be transferred. The power of God can never be transferred. It's the matter of relationship. It's relationship. Jesus built a relationship right in that synagogue with the people by what he taught, how he did it, and the result. That's what we are called. That's the name that you and I. The name that is above every knee. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. Stay the course. Stay the course. Jesus knew exactly where his calling came from. He knew his mission. He knew exactly that all of the tensions that were mounting on him were nothing. He also knew that greater is he that is in him than he that is in the world. And you and I have that same kind of authority by virtue of the fact that Jesus has given us, he has called and sent us on the very mission for which he was being strongly opposed. I know he did not send us empty. He sent us with the power to go and make disciples. To go. In most cases, I hear most Christians say, you know, I'm kind of afraid to even talk about my faith. Well, you know what? You don't have to talk about divine things. Just talk about what God has done in your life, and that will be enough. That's all you need to talk about. You don't need to talk about the birth of Jesus. You don't need to talk about the angels, how many angels in heaven. You don't need those things. All you need is, how is your relationship? Since you encountered this man called Jesus, what difference has that made in your life? The demon-possessed guy was set free. The only thing he knew was, I was demon-possessed, and this man said, get out. The blind man that Jesus healed, this guy was blind from birth. The only message he had for the Sadducees and the Pharisees who have gathered him, summoned him for investigation, they said, is this guy from Nazareth? This man is a false teacher. This man is this. He said, you can say anything about him, but one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I can see. That's the message. That's all. That's all. The rest, God can take care of that. And that's our message. That's what we have. You don't have to go to a theological school to know how much God is doing in your life. And so what? So, challenges will come. Being a Christian doesn't make anyone immune. It doesn't deter Satan or demon. In fact, the day you made that statement and said, I'm no longer my own, I want to be on Jesus' side. That was when Satan started to really get fasting, tightening his belt. He said, what? You want to leave me? You're not going anywhere. You know? I don't know if you believe that or not. But one thing again that I do know is that every person, every Christian, there are times in our lives when temptations will come. And they come in different forms, shapes. How do you fight those? Sometimes they come in the form of health issues. You've been worried about what's going on in your life, how your health is going to be, what is happening to you. You've been thinking about maybe the environment in which you live, your job environment. You've been thinking about the friends that you've made. Maybe everything else seems to be falling apart. How do you live and deal with those? The answer is simple. Invite Jesus into the picture. Take your eyes off of those mountain challenges and just ask Jesus, this is where I am. What do you do about this? It's a challenge for us, especially in a society where people are told, maybe asking for help is weakness. You know, they said, as long as you can do it, when you just be strong enough, you can make it. Well, and that's true, but it's not true in our relationship with dealing with the spirit warfare. No matter how strong you are, you can't fight the evil forces. You may not believe it, but the evil forces that are around, you cannot fight them. The only weapons with God that has always been from time immemorial is the name Jesus. And that's why you and I are there today. Stay the course. Don't give up. Don't get weary. Listen to Jesus' invitation. Come to me, all you that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What is your burden? Are you hearing that invitation? Come to me, not some, but bring all to me. Do you trust that? But that's what happened to Jesus here. He trusted God. He knew that the forces that were mounting against him, he could not fight them. He could not go because he was being rejected, because he didn't have any human credential. He didn't withdraw to say, well, I better not put myself at risk. No. He said, I'm going to continue because I know in whom I believe. And that was God. The same God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And he's available to you and myself. Call on him. Whatever is weighing you down, call on him. Whatever is the problem, the troubles, the trials, call on him. Stay in the course is the key to a fulfilling Christian life and mission. Amen. I'd like to invite us for a moment, a time of prayer. I say this is my conviction. I say this with every conviction of my heart. There hasn't been any challenges in my life that God in Christ has not helped me and seen me through. Be a health. In fact, that's how I in fact came to ministry, when I experienced his healing. After 10 days in the hospital, hospitalized, undergone surgery, I could not sleep because every time I closed my eye, I saw all kinds of nightmare. I had all kinds of nightmare. And this man appeared to my door and knocked on my hospital door and said to me, can I come in? And I said, but who are you? He said, I'm the chaplain. What? Chaplain? What is chaplain? Oh, I'm the pastor here in the hospital. Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah, come in. Who would want to reject a pastor? Come in. And he came in, said some things, read Psalm 56, this was in 1982. I still remember that, Psalm 56. And he says to me, let us pray. And I told him, no, I don't want to pray. And he said, why? I said, I don't want to close my eyes. And he said, why you wouldn't want to close your eyes? I said, because I've had to see a nightmare. For 10 days, I have not slept. And he said, well, you don't have to close your eyes. Just keep your eyes open and we will pray. And I said, okay. He started praying. I was laying back in my hospital bed. For some reason, I fell asleep. And guess who I saw? This strange guy that I've seen his photo only in Sunday school, with his long white gown and the long beard here. And he's sitting there reading the same text that this man was reading to me, Psalm 56. And I, for the first time, he put his hand on my hair and prayed with me and said, to me, you are healed. the first time in 10 days in the hospital. I slept for 5 hours. Just free of nothing. I mean, it was like we were really having fun in my dream, you know. And Esther and the other people came, my late uncle, everybody came. They sat there because they knew I was in. And then they went to the doctor and said, what's happening to him? Is he all right? You know? And everybody is kind of just quiet with him. And the doctors came and did their test. They put their stethoscope on my chest to make sure I was all right. He said, he's just sleeping. He's sleeping. Did you people give him medicine? No, we didn't give him any medicine. And then we try all the medicine. He's all right. After the 5 hours, when I woke up, I was sweating. And I said, I saw all the people sitting down. And I said, what happened? He said, we've been wondering about you. We were thinking if you were still alive. I told them my dream. And I said to them, I said, God has a reason for saving me, and from today's date, I'm going to serve him. And that's why I'm here today. I believe that. So, whatever your challenges, Jesus is real. Whatever your challenges, he's able to meet you at the point of your needs. He's able. When you hear Reverend Jakes, that's how it started. If I don't believe it, I don't preach it. If I preach it, I believe it. And that's why I'm here. We're going to go together in prayer. I want you to know that Jesus is alive. And he can meet you wherever your point of need might be. Trust him. And in the supplement to the sermon. So thank you for listening.
Jakes?
Yes.
I'd like to give prayers out for Rose. She's in a nursing home.
Okay.
And she needs some help. She's not doing well. And an extra prayer out for my twin brother. He's not doing well. He's not my twin brother. He's in Texas, and they're doing some tests on his bladder. They think he has bladder cancer from the Agent Orange. And he's been wheelchair bound for the last year. Thank you.
Okay, let's pray for Rose. Yes.
You know, I've been sitting up, I've been listening to everything you've been saying,
mm-hmm.
but I got two things, and I don't want anybody to get these two mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
I've got my one friend, Cindy.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working with her 15 years. She's a beautiful person.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a very sweet spirit, and she just lost her husband. But I talked to her about the Lord. I've never known her to have that real connection with the Lord.
Mm.
I don't want to see anybody lose their soul,
mm-hmm.
but she's such a sweet, genuine person,
mm-hmm.
and she just lost her husband, and we had his funeral Wednesday, that cold day. But I just want you all to pray for her, because I say little things to her. I don't want to harp on it,
mm-hmm.
but I want her to find her way to the Lord through whatever means necessary. Okay, then I got another friend, Cheryl. Cheryl came and visited with us. She came when we had the summer thing,
mm-hmm.
In September. She came last year and brought her kids.
Mm-hmm.
And she had lost her grandbaby. I've mentioned her to you all before.
Yep.
But I feel like she's got a demon spirit.
Mm.
I mean, she's a good person that I can call and say, come on, go grab a meal with me. That's no problem. But here lately, this person is dumb. This person is stupid. This person is ignorant.
Mm.
This person is bad. This person, it's all negative, negative, negative.
Mm.
And I told her the other day, I said, you need Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You need Jesus in your life. Mm. Because you got a lot of hate and anger and garbage built up in you. And I don't want to walk away from you as a friend, mm-hmm. but you need Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be around you if you think everybody is dumb and stupid and ignorant, because God didn't make people like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all got our issues.
Yes, we do.
But when you spout off all that negativity all the time, I don't want to be around that because I'm trying to win others over to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be won over to the devil.
Mm-mm.
And I don't know what she is right now. Her father just broke his hip. Is in the hospital. He broke his hip Friday. And I've been just, God is able.
Mm-hmm.
You got to look up to God, mm-hmm. trust God. But I don't know what to do for her.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like you got some kind of devil or problem or something wrong mm-hmm. with you. But my words to her is, you need Jesus.
Yes.
And I just pray for Cindy because she is a sweetheart mm-hmm. and a beautiful person. But I've never known her to really connect with God or the church. And I want her to find her way to the Lord. But Cheryl needs help.
Mm-hmm.
Cheryl needs Jesus.
Yes.
So Cindy, the widower, and Cheryl, the, I don't know.
Thank you. We'll keep them in our prayers for sure. You talk about Cindy, and I'm reminded. Yes.
I just have a request. If you have not yet received the estimate of giving card for 2019, please let me know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have received it, please fill it out and return it to church as soon as possible.
Thank you. Thank you. I don't know how many of you knew Sandy McCurry. Sandy left from here. Sometime last year, year before last, she'd been gone 2 years now. We heard she was in New York. She and I used to have phone conversation and all of that. On Friday, her cousin or some relative of her came here and told me that Cindy passed away. Yeah, and she had moved to Tennessee. We had no contact with her at that point. So she had a kidney breakdown and all of those things, health issues, one after another, and she passed away. Let's remember her in our prayer. Okay. Let's be together in prayer. Thank you, dear God, for Jesus. Thank you for coming to us and meeting each of us at the point of our needs. We gather here not as in the synagogues. We are not experts of anything. We are here because this place is dedicated to your service. This place is where we meet to encourage each other to continue the journey of faith and life. This place is the place, O God, that we can come to commune with you. Because as our collective body sits and prays, we fulfilled your promise that where two or three are gathered in your name, there your presence will always be. And so we thank you for your presence with us this morning. Thank you for reminding us that whatever life and wherever life may take us, hope is not gone. You are there to see us through. We thank you. We pray this morning, Lord, as we present to you all of the prayer concerns, the joy, because with you, nothing is impossible. We pray this morning, Lord God, for healing. Healing of the mind and the soul. Healing of the body. Healing of our relationships. Healing, oh God, is what we pray for. We pray for restoration. Restoration of our relationship with you. That you will continue to draw us closer. We pray, God, for peace. Peace for those who have passed on. Even as we remember Sandy McCrory, receive her. May her soul rest in perfect peace with you. We pray for Sandy for consolation. God, we use all of these people and their circumstances, Lord, as a springboard to reach out to all others who cannot even pray for themselves, who have not come to know you, that your spirit, oh, out of your prevenient grace, oh God, that you can reach out to them and touch them and give them the needed hope. Whatever their needs might be, Lord, we pray for them, touch them, and bring them closer to yourself. In Jesus' name, who taught us whenever we pray, we conclude with these words of prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. If you are able and feel comfortable, you may rise for our closing hymn. Stand by me. We need Jesus to stand by us, yes, on this journey.
Amen.
life, especially Christian life, is not easy. We can't travel it by ourselves and in our own strength. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so go in peace. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, abides and remains with each of us, now and always. Amen. Thank you for coming. God bless you. Oh, okay. Okay, let me see if I can. Thank you.